Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone and welcome to Gypsy Poet Radio. I am the Gypsy Poet and I've got an awesome show this afternoon like I always do on every Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. I am very excited to present a longtime friend of mine and a staple in the punk literature scene. He is amazing. He's awesome. He's the one and only, the amazing Jack Deadman. Jack, you with me?
Gypsy, I'm right here. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. So talk to me. What's going on? What's new?
Well, got a new book out here. It's the follow-up to Nobody Special, The Death of Johnny Salinger. The new one's called Cursed is the Road to the American Dream. And
right.
Been out 4 weeks now. It's been out.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing. How does it feel to have this next book out?
It feels really good, and there's a huge relief to it, but also kind of a release. Mm-hmm. and a little surreal, but also there's I'm kind of glad it's done. It's been a very, very long road.
Okay. That's awesome. Okay, what I want to talk to you about is what possessed you to get into the written word? I got to ask that.
Okay. Gosh, I think I was probably about 6 or 7 when I started writing, and I was just writing short stories for fun. And then I guess if there's a bug, like people talk about, you know, the writing bug, I think it really hit me after Steve Martin came out with The Jerk. And it was like my favorite movie, that and Meatballs. And I thought, man, I would love to work with Steve Martin someday. So I started to write a sequel to The Jerk called The Idiot, Son of a Jerk. And I think I was at that point in fifth grade, and I wrote the entire script. And my girlfriend at the time, I mean, you know, I think we went to the movies once, showed it to her dad, and unfortunately I never saw it again because it was a sequel to a R-rated comedy. And so that was my first censorship, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But after that, it was just, I just had to keep going. It awoke that something in me where when I'm not writing, it feels like something's off. So storytelling began, and there's always this feeling of kind of urgency while writing and then kind of catharsis when you're done. And it just becomes, you know, a way of life. And I think that's how a lot of artists feel.
Mm, yes, they do, very much so.
So now, to answer your question, probably about 6 or 7.
Okay. Okay. That's awesome. Okay, now, what I want to know here is what or whom, I should emphasize whom, told you to keep it going, or was it something you just had to do on your own?
It was something that I just had to do on my own.
Okay.
Now, along the way, people kind of became cheerleaders as they read what I wrote and would talk about how it affected them. And that it just kind of lets you know, hey, maybe I'm on the right track here. So, yeah, it just kept going and going. And that's what I'm still doing, I guess.
Okay. Other than the two books that you have out today, are there other pieces or other places that you've been published? Have there been other pieces that you've written that you've published anyplace else?
Back in 1988, I wrote a book called Do I Stand Alone, which was actually kind of the egg, so to speak, to Nobody Special. It's what Nobody Special actually came out of. And it was in book form back in 1988, and I did have a publisher at the time, and right before signing, my entertainment lawyer said, do not sign this contract. And it was probably a good call for now. Back then, I was thinking he was insane, but I was at that doorstep. I was about to go through the threshold into publishing land, and pulled out. And so to answer that question, yes, and then walked away.
Oh, gotcha. Okay,
yeah,
I know.
That's very, really good.
Going ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't mean, though, that now I wouldn't welcome a publication to come forward and me to sign on with. It would make my life a lot easier. Being a self-published author is it's a full-time job. And
Yes,
when
it is.
I'm putting time into that, I'm taking time away from the actual writing, and it becomes a conundrum. It really does. A little frustrating.
Yes. Self-publishing comes close to home because here Gypsy has been doing it for like almost 8 years now. A big thing I want to tell you is that when you self-publish, there's a lot that you do by yourself, my man. You do everything. You have to make the flyers. You got to design everything. You got to put out those promos yourself. I mean, it is a 24/7 job once you do it, believe me. And believe it or not, when I got started, I put out my own press releases. So
yeah, that's how it is.
Yes, it is. It's just like that. So that's a big, big, big thing that you got to keep in mind. So anybody listening, you know, when it comes down to self-publishing, be prepared, you guys, because you do a lot yourself. And sometimes when people approach you, you know, to you know, to get out there and help yourself, you got to watch the price tag. That's a big, big thing you got to look out for. All right, now. I know that you are in the East Coast. I know you're in Pennsylvania, and I would like to know if have you lived there all your life, or have you traveled from place to place in the U.S. or around the world or anything like that?
Yeah, no, actually, I'm a California boy. I was born just north of L.A., and I didn't leave for Pennsylvania until I was in my 30s. And really the reason why we came out here was to be with family. My wife was originally from out here, and we met out in L.A. And when we started to raise our own family, we thought, you know what, concrete playgrounds aren't the way that I want to raise this one. So we came out here, and we were able to, you know, get a house, which is hard to do in L.A. But yeah, I'm actually from California, and so I'm new to Pennsylvania in the sense that we've been here off and on since 2000, and this time around we've been here for almost 10 years.
How is it different from California? How is Pennsylvania different? What's the environment like?
Oh, it's a major culture shock. One thing that's very different is the food, and my friends probably get sick of hearing me talk about it, but there's two things that I really miss about California, and that is the food. And the entertainment venues, you know, having such a wide choice to choose from, you know, on any given day. And here it's a little more pick and choose. The music scene's improved here in the last 10 years, I have to say that. But I definitely love it here, but there's a lot that I miss about Los Angeles.
Yes, I see that. Especially being as open and open-minded as Los Angeles is. It's a very, I see where you're coming from, because you come from a place that's very, very diverse and very open in the sense that anything goes. And to go from that to Pennsylvania, where Pennsylvania is just a little bit more quiet, you know, I see I see your point where you're coming from.
As an artist, it's even harder, I think. And that's where I feel kind of like an alien. At times, because out there, and you know, everyone for a good reason that you talk to in circles, there's always at least one artist in the room, you know. And here, you're kind of a novelty, and so you talk about it less, it's asked about less. There's a lot of stories that I have from growing up in Los Angeles that people out here don't believe me when I'm talking, so it's like, okay, I won't talk about my old life. But yeah, there's that culture difference. You know, I grew up a few streets away from Kurt Russell. I used to run into him all the time. My wife's probably rolling her eyes right now. But that was life growing up, you know. There was always, when people out here ask me, hey, have you ever seen so-and-so? I tell them it'd be a shorter conversation if you just throw out names and I'll say yes or no. I've seen this person. It's just you're around it. I miss that too.
Very cool. Now let's talk about your book. The first one that I have here is Nobody Special, The Death of Jolly Salinger. Okay, let's talk about this. What is the plot surrounded with? What do we got going on with Mr. Challenger here going on here? I read the book, don't get me wrong, but I want to know who or what inspired the character, and I'd like to know just the full surroundings of Johnny Challenger and what how he evolved at this point. So let's talk a little bit about Johnny here.
You know, I talked about before that Nobody Special is kind of a happy accident that happened. Mm-hmm. It was a book that wasn't supposed to be. I was working on the other one that I've just newly released. Mm-hmm. And at one time, we were shopping it around to be a movie, and it was in script form. And then when I came back to write it again as a novel, on page 3 in the script, Johnny Challenger, it's the end of his life. He's a iconic punk kind of, in his soul, he's a beat poet, but he's in the punk genre. And he's gained too much fame than he's able to handle. And so he gets to this point in his life where he's actually weighing out whether or not he's going to kill himself that night. And he feels that he's become such kind of a marketable, just an item, that he's in his room in his own place. There's this huge New Year's Eve party going on. He's at his place in Venice Beach, and the place is hopping. And so he makes this deal with himself that if just one person knocks on his bedroom door coming to look for him, then he won't kill himself, which is a pretty good bet because it's his own place, and where's the host? But during this time that he's waiting for the door to open, he starts to write his final thoughts, and it's a diary entry, and it turns out to be him writing all night long and looking for the perfect word or phrase or the perfect thought to write before he dies, just in case that door never opens. And so in the script form, it's really only a page long, and the rest of the movie was about how he got there.
Okay.
And so when I got to that part in the new book, I thought, you know what, there's a little more here. So I kept skipping over it, and I thought, I'll come back to it. And the more I thought about it, I thought, you know what, it'd be a good companion piece. So maybe it will be like 20, 30 pages. It will be one diary entry. And so when I finally started to work on it, I found that, oh, my gosh, there's an entire story here that's separate from the other one. And I became so engulfed in it, I actually put the other book down and worked on The Death of Johnny Challenger. So in a weird way, the ending came out first. And so the new book, which predates it, the prequel actually gets to come out second. It was finished second. That's kind of how that came about. It really was just a happy accident. It was a detour, and I think it's a good lesson for writers because it was a detour. It was a detour that I was trying to avoid, but something was pulling me. And when I stopped fighting that pull, this wonderful thing came out of it. And I wrote some things that I never thought that I would have a chance to say, and I got to put it all into one book. So it's really cool.
Yes. And I do like the way it's written because there's a part in the book when I'm looking through it now that I see that it looks like there's a script in here. So I love that. And I love the overall look that you created with it. The layout is absolutely amazing because you've got evidence for everything in here, for every character, for every moment. And I can feel that this could be a script. This one really does have the potential to be a script. And I honestly would like to see that. I really would. I want to see this become a script.
The script form that the book sometimes takes is actually because, Johnny's been hurting for a long time, and he starts to disassociate to be able to deal with things. And he is getting, it does seem that there's a mental health issue there that's just kind of spiraling as he's getting near the end. And he's really deep into addiction at this point, too, to help kind of deal with things as well. And so he's really out of control. And there's some parallels with kind of his end and Jim Morrison's ending. Parallels mm-hmm. I didn't really know existed till later on. That's a whole other story, but mm-hmm. it's kind of on that line. Like, mm-hmm. how would Jim Morrison be, you know, on his final night if he had read something, written something before he died? Mm-hmm. But to come back to the script segment, so yes. Johnny Salinger often disassociates, and it comes in different forms. Sometimes he disassociates, he sees himself as a ghost outside of himself, and then other times he disassociates where he feels like he's watching himself actually through a camera, a movie mm-hmm. camera, and he says he feels like he's being filmed. And so in the segments where he starts to feel like he's being filmed, the book actually will take on the script format and reads as a script because that's how he's seeing it. He's seen it as an observer through his own life. He's, at best, he's an actor who's forced to read these lines as they're happening, and he has no control over changing the fate of what's already been written. So that's why that happens, the script portions of the book. And then something that you might bring up, and just in case you don't, there are no page numbers in the book, and a lot of people had an interesting reaction to that. And the reason why I did that is because it's all one diary entry. And mm-hmm. at times when I've been journaling or working on a diary or something, I never... Mm-hmm. Numbered pages as I went, and I figured if this is my last night on earth, I'm not going to waste time numbering pages. Mm-hmm. So there's purposefully no page numbers because by the time from the time his pen hits the page to the time that it leaves the page on the final page, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. he doesn't stop writing. So that's why there's no page numbers.
Mm-hmm. You're going to love this next question because. I just love asking this one, especially when I put something like punk lit or punk music. I want you to define what punk lit means to you.
Oh yeah, I'm not. I'm not. I think the only person who can define what punk lit is the person mm-hmm. who's reading what they're reading and then deciding if it's punk or not. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't define it.
That's the best part about it, because if you can't define it, in my mind, it's already punk.
I think there is a useful aspect of mm-hmm. having things labeled, because at least it gives us an idea of the type of style that something is, or the mm-hmm. type of, you know, what the fabric is behind it, or mm-hmm. The ideology or the social or cultural aspect to it. Mm-hmm. I think in those cases, there's a usefulness to having a label. But aside from that, and actually in the new book, it's addressed right at the beginning of the book that mm-hmm. Johnny himself is really a huge piece of me. Has a huge problem mm-hmm. with labels and has difficulty even defining himself.
Right.
I would say that punk is a part of my soul, and mm-hmm. I don't know. I wish I could explain that one better, but I think it's almost mm-hmm. not punk mm-hmm. to try and define punk.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I couldn't resist that question. Yeah, honestly, I couldn't resist that question. I'll tell you why. Because I just love to make people think. That's my thing. It's like if I can make a person think, that just made my day. And you made my Sunday. You did. You made my Sunday. Yeah. Talking about this book, I mean, I got two copies of this book. It is that good. It is.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Really? Yes, I do. Because the reason why is because good God. First of all, it's a very good book. And second of all, it's got this it's got this very different feel from any other book I've ever written. And I paid attention to the fact that it does not have any page numbers whatsoever. So this is really, seriously, it's like you're killing off a character. That's what it feels like. Yes, much so. And what you're doing is you're just giving just these moments, these last, he's just going over these moments before the the tragedy happens. And sorry if I spoiled it. Anyway, but
You know, there's no spoiling it because it's called The Death of Johnny Salinger.
Yes, exactly.
We can't spoil it. It's,
yeah.
Let's ruin it for everyone. Here we go. Ready? It's a ticking time bomb where the bomb is going to go off at the end of the story, but in the story there is no bomb. It's figurative.
Yes, exactly. So I can't wait for people to pick this up. This is really good. And it's just far better than the usual humdrum stuff that's out there on the market right now. So yes, for those of you listening out there, I just want to let you know that Nobody Special is out worldwide in retailers, including Amazon.com, and it's called Nobody Special, The Death of Johnny Salinger, and it's written by Jack Dedman. So you can be sure to Google it, and it'll show up on every retailer in the world, basically. So be sure and pick a copy up. It's really good. It's definitely something that's suspenseful reading. It's got it's just got lots of twists and turns in this book, and it's like, you've got all this going on in such a short amount of time, which is absolutely amazing.
Yes.
Now, you mentioned that A Curse is the Road to the American Dream is a prequel. Okay.
Yes.
So, so let's talk about this one. Is this one also with Johnny Salinger before this, before Nobody Special?
It is. It's everything that brings us up to the night that he kills himself.
Okay.
It's basically
mm-hmm.
the reason that mm-hmm. we get to the Nobody Special book.
Mm-hmm.
And in a way, it's two or three books in one,
mm-hmm.
because in it, there's a prequel to the prequel.
Yes.
It starts off with covering all the stuff that Johnny talks about in the first book, and we get to find out the stories behind everything he talks about in the first
mm-hmm.
book. And we start to get introduced into the lives of the characters that mm-hmm. Have surrounded him and have also kind of brought him to that moment.
Mm-hmm.
But then halfway into the book, it takes a little detour.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes even further back to explain how things even got to that point. And in a way, it's a mystery in reverse that
mm-hmm.
then goes forward, and all secrets, anything that anyone was ever wondering about with the first one is answered. And then I did something really sneaky. And since this book takes place before Nobody Special, what I decided
mm-hmm.
to do was that the other main character in the book,
mm-hmm.
who is Johnny's better half,
mm-hmm.
who survives Johnny, I hate to spoil
right.
that,
mm-hmm.
but I had that character write the foreword for the new novel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in modern day, so you get to kind of find out, you know, what's happened over the last 20 years, because Johnny
right.
dies in 1994. So here we are,
mm-hmm.
you know, 20 years later, what's happened
mm-hmm.
since then? And then there's
mm-hmm.
a question of, is he really dead?
Mm-hmm.
And that comes up as well. There's a kind of Andy Kaufman element to the story as well.
Mm-hmm. Cool. These titles that you have here, both Nobody Special and Cursed is the Road to the American Dream, are very distinct titles. First of all, for Nobody Special, what possessed you to create that title for that book?
It was at the time when I was working on it, when I was working on the original book, which was Do I Stand Alone,
mm-hmm.
there was a band out at the time called Nobody Special.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't that I was ripping off the name. It was kind of ripping off the concept of feeling like nobody
mm-hmm.
special.
Okay.
And that's how the character kind of feels. He's
mm-hmm.
he's been made into this huge deal, but in actuality, inside, he feels like he's nobody.
Mm-hmm.
And he feels like all of his success was just all an accident anyway, so he's even
mm-hmm.
less special. But as he goes to write that kind of opus, he starts to figure out that not only is he special, but absolutely everything is special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the smallest grain of sand a fly on the wall, everything has a piece of what he calls the great and wonderful everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is somehow tied together, and So in that sense, everything's special. And that becomes kind of his the message that he's trying to get across in those final pages. And we start to see the birth of that with the new book.
Okay, awesome. So, and Cursed is the Road to the American Dream. That is that is also a very distinct title. So what inspired that?
That came from a line from Nobody Special in the book where Johnny was talking about how the pursuit of the American dream, it's not so much that he feels the American dream is cursed, so much as it is the road that gets you there. And that's where people, you know, lose themselves, is on the way, or what happens once they get there, or, you know, once they pass it up. And it's my own little belief, too, you know, but it came from a line out of the book. And once I wrote it in the book, there was, in the first book, there was no going back, because he writes in there that if he survives the night, he will write another book, and it will be called Cursed is the Road to the American Dream, which gives us a little more question as to whether or not he's still alive.
I like that. I do. Seeing you blossom as a writer is a blessing. I mean, I watch your posts. I've seen so many things coming up, even out of your Facebook page alone. You have done so many awesome things with your writing, and especially in these two books. You really have come out of your shell. What I like is that you you have an extraordinary sense of solidity in your words. I think that you brought something out in Johnny that all of us have a tendency to sweep under the rug. What I like, yes, I will say this is something I like a lot, because your writing is intriguing, and it gets me, for example, to question my writing and myself. And I see a reflection of myself in Johnny Salinger, very much so. And your writing, whatever it is you are out to accomplish, which I think what you are out to accomplish is for the reader to question themselves a bit, and ask themselves, you know, what is special about them. And you brought that out, and I want to see more. I do. You've done wonders with it. I do hope one day that Nobody Special and or Cursed is the Road to the American Dream does become a film, one or both. I do hope that they do, because because I see potential in a script. I do, because it's too good not to. It really is, because your writing and these characters that you created are so enriched, and I would like to see the challenge of any actor to come forward and bring these characters to life. That's what I'd like to see.
Yeah,
absolutely. Okay. Oh, you're so welcome. Okay. With less than a minute to go here, I want to let everybody know that you can find both books, Nobody Special, The Death of Johnny Salinger, as well as Cursed is the Road to the American Dream, both on in worldwide retailers, on Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and Books A Million, for that matter. So be sure and check them out there. If anything else, please check out jackdedman.com. Let me spell that out for you. J-A-C-K, Dedman, D-E-A-D-M-E-N, all one word, jackdedman.com. Please check out whatever he's doing on the website. You'll find updates and other things. And you can also find Jack Dedman on Twitter as well, and Facebook, and Google him. He's got great material. He's got great stuff going on this coming year. And like I said, Jack, I cannot wait to see these two books to turn into a screenplay. And yes, absolutely. Great, profound, deep, solid writing. That's what I'm looking for here on GPR. So I'm very, very proud. Also, I wanted to take a second to thank Bongo Boy TV for helping me out in putting GPR on the map. And, of course, I got to thank Mr. Jack Dedman. Jack, you are a tremendous writer, and I can't wait to see more of what you're doing. And
thank you,
Jill. Anytime. And if there's anything else you want to plug, feel free to do it now.
That's it, jackdedman.com. The book trailers are there. Nobody Special is actually free today on Kindle. I think that ends at midnight. I think it's Pacific time. So people can run over there and snag it for free right now on Kindle. That's it. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Okay, guys, this is the Gyps signing off saying adios for now.